Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So now we're focusing on the core claims of Richard Shaver, what the voices are telling him, what he may have even experienced. The book is War Over Lemuria by Richard Toronto. We're joined by Geneva Hagen this week. I'm Gene Steinberg with Chris O'Brien, our favorite trickster. Okay, Richard, let's have the answer now, maybe in a quick Reader's Digest version. What is the core basis of what Shaver claims?
He claimed that there's a race of beings living under the planet in caverns that were put there by a much older race, a very advanced race that had to leave the planet thanks to our sun spewing out detrimental radiation. They couldn't take it, these elder people who came from space. They were living on Earth at a time when it was a benevolent place, but for a time they decided, well, we're not going to leave yet, we're going to go underground. So they went underground. They had advanced technology. They, before they migrated back into space, they left a lot of this machinery, these mech, as they called it. But there were stragglers, and the stragglers are the people, the mutants that are down there today called the Darrow, and the good people are the Taro. These are the people that help Shaver. So there were these two forces at work that were constantly using these rays. You know, I should point out that this is, follows the exact scenario of the influencing machine of psychiatry of the schizophrenic personality. This came out around the turn of the last century. There's been a lot of cases of people who feel that they're being raised by some source somewhere, and a lot of times it's underground, can be elsewhere. But Shaver was displaying all of the symptoms of a schizophrenic that was feeling he was controlled by some outside source. So that was the core of his teaching, was that these evil beings were causing humanity all kinds of problems, and he acquired a lot of information from ancient scrolls, these thought records that he accessed while he was down there. This could have been the time that he was in Ionia. I'm not sure if it was exactly that time or if it began while he was in Ypsilanti, but it happened during time when he was in one of those places.
So in a sense here, he was in a trance or dreaming. One feels when he felt he went to the caves and had these encounters.
Yeah, I've got accounts from people who actually have seen Shaver in trance. He would slip into these trance-like states, and that's when they would hear the voices coming from Shaver.
Now, one thing Palmer told me that freaked him out, and I don't know whether you mentioned much of it in the book, and that is he went to Shaver's home in Bartow, Pennsylvania one time, heard the voices, but he said it couldn't have been from Shaver because sometimes the voices would speak at the same time. They'd overlap each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, what he would write in his editorials in Amazing, and then there was what he would write in letters to Shaver. Now, there were a lot of letters that he published in The Hidden World, just scads and scads, pages and pages of these letters from Shaver, and then some from Palmer to Shaver. And in one of those letters, Palmer does say, you know, you're telling me that, you know, it's a woman at a control panel down in a cavern, but, you know, how do I know that? You know, I mean, you're telling me this. How do I know it's not some occult thing like on the astral plane? Or, and that's what got Palmer interested more in the occult and metaphysics, was this whole aspect of where these voices were coming from. And he didn't seem to think that they were coming from caverns below our feet. He kind of combined it with the Owosky Bible and put the voices and the influences as coming from someplace about 100 miles up in our atmosphere.
Now, we should mention also that Shaver always maintained there were physical experiences. But now let's get to the next segment of this, which is that what happened in Amazing Stories and the reader reaction? Because, first of all, one of the things that Palmer did when he became editor of Amazing Stories, he made it a mass market science fiction magazine. It wasn't just cerebral stuff where we take some kind of new invention and we do a story around it. This had characters and action paving the way for things like, I said before, Forbidden Planet and Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff like that, right?
That's right. In fact, I would say that movies, even before Star Wars, science fiction films adhere more to the Palmer type of science fiction rather than the John W. Campbell Jr. science fiction. See, even before the Shaver mystery, fandom was already split into two camps. You had John Campbell Jr., who was more the cerebral kind of science fiction, you know, for the intellectual, and the fans followed that guy. They felt that science fiction deserved a place in mainstream literature, which it didn't have. It was like dime magazine type literature. It was pulp literature. Okay, so Palmer, in working out his type of science fiction in the 1930s when he worked at Fantasy Magazine, he was heavily influenced by a guy named Weinbaum, Stanley G. Weinbaum, who humanized science fiction. He got away from the old, you know, nuts and bolts, clunky robot kind of thing and gave aliens personalities. This was before George Lucas, way before. So Palmer was totally blown away by Weinbaum, who died very young. So Palmer took on the mantle of Weinbaum, and this influenced his type of science fiction, which was more of a visceral, emotional science fiction, which the fans, and I got to add here, the fans, fandom, was only about 150 kids, you know, but they were the people at that time that grew up to write the histories of science fiction, like Forrest J. Ackerman, Moskowitz, and Harry Warner Jr. All these were young people, fans, and they were the ones that wrote the history. It's like the victory is to the person who gets to write the history, right? Well, that's why Ray Palmer has always been so discounted and reviled over the years. These are the people that didn't like him at that point in time.
They didn't like it because of Shaver. So basically here, a lot of science fiction fans were up in arms over Amazing Stories, Fantastic, and complained as if Davis because of all the stuff with the Shaver mystery and these caves and all that.
Oh, yeah. That was like the cherry on top of the cake. Once Palmer came up with the Shaver mystery, they dug their heels in, and that's when they started writing in letters, started complaining. That's when Shaver got a lot of bad media attention, too, about the Shaver mystery. Yeah, so he got a lot of bad press, and the fans were constantly hammering him.
They were actually even trying to hoax him. They would be sending in these stories to see if he'd print them, and then they'd spread the news that they were able to get through and bamboozle Palmer. And this created quite a bit of controversy amongst the real hardcore science fiction fans.
Yep, Palmer fell for quite a few hoaxes. In fact, in my second book to War Over Lemuria, which is called Shaverology, A Shaver Mystery Home Companion, I go into that extensively about hoaxes. And I talk about people always said how Ray Palmer was such a hoaxer, that he was constantly coming up with hoaxes. But the more you dig into it, the more you find that he was taken in by more hoaxes than he ever created hoaxes.
Now, I had talked to a science fiction writer back in the 70s talking about Palmer, and he said Palmer was the kind of person who would state an argument, not because he believed it, but to get reader reaction, to keep those cards and letters coming, to keep active letters to the editor sections. But at some point in time, the Shaver mystery faded out of Amazing Stories, but then Palmer and Curtis Fuller began Fate magazine. Let's talk about the beginnings of Fate magazine, because just before that, we were getting the first mass reports and sightings of UFOs. Richard Toronto joins us with Geneva Hagen, Gene Steinberg, and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Yeah.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Don't be surprised when the global elite confiscates money from your bank account one day. They have already very clearly telling you that they're going to do it, with what just happened in Cyprus serving as a blueprint for future bank bailouts. If you are concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and I will send you a booklet with 10 reasons why gold and silver could be right for you. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the next bank bailout hits. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
How's your pH today? Are you acidic? How alkaline is your blood and body? What is the pH of the water you drink? We are AlkaVision, and we have the answers. Drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining vibrant health and high energy, because bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline, high pH environment. If your drinking water isn't at a pH level of 8 or higher, boost it with AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Our unique formula will alkalize your water, ridding your body of harmful toxins and acid, and help regain energy and health. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise the pH of your body to optimal levels. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615, 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. I'm thinking of the Lone Ranger here because we're going back to the 40s. So in the latter days of the Shaver mystery, Richard Toronto, we heard about UFOs, then called flying saucers, and Palmer was collecting this stuff, and then he got involved in setting up Fate magazine. Let's talk about the first UFO reports, how Shaver may have predicted the UFOs according to some estimates and some claims, and how it led to Fate magazine.
Shaver talked about some of the, like I said, these machines that the elder race left below. And one of the transport vehicles was called a Rolat. The way Shaver described it, it was very similar to the way flying saucers behaved. They could come out of the caverns and fly in the atmosphere, and they could even go into space. This is what Ray Palmer used as one of his proofs that the Shaver mystery was indeed real, because once the Maury Island incident happened, and then Kenneth Arnold and flying saucers became a big national subject, Palmer used that to tie into the Shaver mystery. But at that point in time, the Shaver mystery was already sliding out the door, because by 1947, Ziff had told Palmer, you got to cut loose this mystery part of, you know, if you want to print Shaver's science fiction stories, fine, but we're not going to have any more of the Shaver mystery stuff. They didn't like talk about the flying saucers because, and I got this straight from the horse's mouth when I talked to William Hamley. He said that the Ziff Davis offices were constantly visited by agents of the government and military. What they were interested in were things that Ray Palmer was talking about, you know, flying saucers and the Shaver mystery.
Now, it came to a time here where, because of one of those incidents, and we've talked about it before on the PowerCast, the Maury Island UFO sighting, because of that, Palmer was visited and actually vilified by people in the government, such as Edward Ruppelt, who called Maury Island like the biggest hoax in history and blamed the Chicago publisher for it, the Chicago publisher being, of course, Ray Palmer. Tell us.
And he wasn't the only one. Palmer was publicly humiliated like that more than once. Martin Gardner, in his book, Fads and Fallacies in the Name of Science, he just raked Palmer over the coals for that and said that the two guys that were behind the hoax just did it because this is what the Chicago publisher wanted them to say, that these fragments that they picked up on the beach actually were produced from a UFO. And the crazy thing is that even though that incident, and you say you've gone into it, so maybe your listeners know, that two Air Force officers died in an air crash because of, you know, them going up there to investigate this, and then their plane mysteriously crashes with the so-called UFO debris on board that was never recovered. And yet the two guys that were involved, Harold Dahl and Fred L. Crisman, were never prosecuted. I mean, that's totally crazy. They fabricated a situation that dragged in the Air Force intelligence. Two people died, a plane was lost, and the only person that was blamed was Ray Palmer.
And what could Ray Palmer do except, as I gather, the only thing he really did was to ask Kenneth Arnold, who saw the nine disc-shaped objects over Mount Rainier, folks, while flying his private plane. He was dispatched to go to Tacoma, Washington, to figure out what was going on.
Yes, he was, and he was not too happy about it after a while, because Crisman and a lot of people. Now, there was a steam shovel press book, and you probably know it. What was it called? The Crisman UFO Conspiracy or something like that by Ken Thomas. That was a very well-researched and huge book on that whole incident. And it seemed to me that it was a setup. To me, it was a setup that they wanted to publicly humiliate Ray Palmer by sucking him in. But Ray Palmer was a sucker for suckering into it, because Crisman had written a couple of hoax letters to Fantastic Adventures and Amazing Stories. And later, Ray Palmer said he didn't really believe those letters. But when Crisman called him up and said, hey, I've got this flying saucer debris here, what did Ray Palmer do? He sent Kenneth Arnold out there to investigate, and he got even deeper in the whole mess.
By the way, why did Palmer and Curtis Fuller found Fate magazine?
Well, Ray Palmer knew that he wasn't going to be able to publish the kind of material that he wanted to publish, like flying saucers and Shaver mystery, things like that, and metaphysics. He was getting more and more into metaphysics. So he knew he was going to quit Ziff Davis, and he did that in 1949, but he wanted to have something going on before he quit. He wanted to found his own publishing house, which he did, And that was Fate Magazine was the first offering in 1948, spring. And interestingly enough, Richard Shaver had signed the corporation papers as well as Chester Geyer, and I think Hamling's name might have been on those papers too. And that was the beginning of kind of an incestuous relationship between Rapp's inner circle, as it was called by Hamling, where they were constantly signing these incorporation papers, and it eventually got Ray Palmer and Richard Shaver into a lot of trouble.
We'll go into what happened there in a moment, but I kind of think in retrospect that with Fate Magazine as a mass market publication, that very much kept the UFO subject alive in the late 40s and early 50s.
Oh, yeah, it did, because practically every issue there were flying saucers on the cover, and Ray Palmer knew he was riding the wave of interest in flying saucers. And after World War II, people were just dying to get away from the war, and you know, the atomic bomb had been dropped, atomic energy was really big, space flight with the U-2 rockets that the Germans were using. Everything was converging into a new age that we were getting into, and the flying saucers were part of that.
All right, let's kind of move very quickly here, because there's a lot of things I want to talk about with regard to my encounters with Palmer and Shaver and Geneva's encounters with Shaver. And that is, Palmer eventually left Fate Magazine and started his own company with publications of his own, Search, first called Mystic, kind of a alternative to Fate Magazine. Was there a falling out between the Palmers and the Shavers? I've heard a couple of stories about this.
There was. It was kind of an on-again, off-again thing. Dottie Shaver, Richard's wife, would bring it up to me occasionally, but she would never go into it. She just said there was a cooling off between them. But yet, and this was up in Wisconsin when the Shavers were living up there, and then the Palmers came to live there too. 1950 was the year the Palmers moved to Amherst, and 1949 is when the Shavers moved there. But it didn't seem to shut off their friendship at all. They would still come over every Saturday night, the Shavers would, and they would play chess, and they would have Ray Palmer's potato pancake dinners.
Okay, but that was Palmer and Shaver. I was thinking of the Fullers and the Palmers.
Fuller.
Right, and we'll get into that in a moment. We have Richard Taranto joining us with Geneva Hagen, Gene Steinberg, and Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy-free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraganiX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
We're going back through time. War Over Lemuria is the book from Richard Toronto about Richard Shaver and Ray Palmer with Geneva Hagen, Gene, and Chris. Now, I've heard different stories about this. We had Jerome Clark on the Paracast once, and he talked about the falling out between Ray Palmer and Curtis Fuller over Fate magazine, and another reason for him to divorce himself from that publication when he moved to Amherst, Wisconsin.
I didn't hear that as a reason that he moved to Amherst, but I wasn't privy to that information.
Point is, Palmer starts his own publishing house. And it's interesting to then segue over how it changed the lives of many people. So we had Flying Saucers magazine, which came out every month, every 2 months, whatever. And had a little segment in there, a free area called Saucer Club News. And it was people, mostly by teenagers, who start their own flying saucer clubs, like I did. And they get in touch with other people. And strangely enough, these all became our lifelong friends. But in 1965, I was working, this is still as a teenager, I'm not as old as I look, for Jim Mosley at Saucer News. And Jim organized this trip to Chicago, where we met up with a guy named Dale Redig, a UFO researcher, Rick Hilberg, and I think somebody else, I don't remember who, but it was Jim, myself, probably Alan Greenfield, has also been on the Paracast. And in Chicago, we met up with Jacques Vallée. He had a book out called Anatomy of a Phenomenon, if you remember. So we had one of the first interviews with Jacques Vallée, had a pleasant time. We decided to go up to visit Ray Palmer. And so this is in 1965. We drive up to this small town, and we kind of get lost. Amherst had a population then of about 500 people. And so we asked somebody at the gas station, do you know Ray Palmer? Of course we do. We didn't realize he was a pillar of the community and everything. And they sent us to his home. And we kind of expected modest surroundings. And he had this huge house with beautiful picture windows overlooking a little river called the Tomorrow River. So once we got there, I knew already what Palmer looked like, about his deformity, and you really didn't think about it after you met him. You talked to him for a while. Real pleasant guy. And I asked him a key question here, which I guess started part of the feuding with Richard Shaver. And I asked him some questions about the Schaefer mystery, and he came out with the fact that Schaefer spent the time in a mental institution when he claimed he was in the Capes. And that's right. Where things really got out of hand, because I then conveyed that to Schaefer, and Schaefer said, no, it was a real experience. Palmer was wrong, but it was a fascinating sort of situation there.
Yeah, I know Shaver's mom was really upset when Ray Palmer let the cat out of the bag about the asylum. She wouldn't talk to Ray Palmer after that.
Now, that's a good question, too. It happened to me in 65 that we got this information. I hadn't heard it before. Is that the first time he revealed it?
I think it was earlier than that, when they had problems, with, like I alluded to, with signing of corporate papers. They got into this porno publishing scandal called the Freedom Publishing Company. It was Hamling's doing, because Hamling by that time had dumped science fiction, and he was going with girly mags like Rogue, and he was publishing softcore porn paperbacks.
He was a friend of, or a former friend of Hugh Hefner.
Well, not according to Hefner, but according to Hamling, he was. Hefner denies it. There was some kind of falling out between Hefner and Hamling, too. But, yeah, they were contemporaries at one time. They both worked for the same publishing company in the early 50s. But, so, where were we at that point?
Okay, so where it came out that Schaefer had been in the mental institution, the outgrowth of that. And Palmer still said, in the interview with me, I still believe Schaefer. But, of course, he didn't think of physical caves at that point. He was thinking of a mental process, of the astral. This is where a lot of that started. And as I said, I wrote to Schaefer and said, what's this all about? And he went livid in those letters. Geneva, you probably saw some of those, right?
I don't remember those particular letters. I remember we talked about it.
Right. I know that we had an article in Caveat Emptor magazine from Schaefer.
Yes.
Well, I think that it came out during a meeting with some lawyers at Ray Palmer's house in 1963. That's when the crapola hit the fan over this porno publishing thing, and then the media got a hold of it. And Ray Palmer didn't want his standing in the community to be ruined. And like I point out in the book, it appears that it was decided that Schaefer would take the fall for the whole thing. And that, I think, is when it started leaking out that Schaefer had been in a mental hospital. Now, Ray Palmer wasn't a dumb guy. When Schaefer was writing to him, I am almost positive he knew that Schaefer was a former mental patient. But think about it. If he said, my author is a former mental patient, and he's getting all this information that we're claiming is true and in our stories. And he couldn't say that. His publisher would not have allowed him to print this stuff, so he kept his yap shut about this. You can see in the letters that he published in The Hidden World that Schaefer was talking a lot about mental hospitals, nut houses, as he called them, bug houses, how his wife convinced him that he had to go see a doctor, and how they'll put you in there and you don't want to get in there. I mean, Ray Palmer had to have known that Richard Schaefer was in a mental hospital as early as 1945. But if he had said that, it would have looked pretty bad on Ray Palmer for taking advantage of someone like that, and that's what people would have said. I mean, they said that anyway, but if Ray Palmer said, yeah, I knew he was in a hospital all the time, it didn't come out until many, many years later. Oh, the story was a nurse somehow lifted his personal files from the asylum and showed them to me. Well, that's crazy. No nurse would lift a patient's files and show them to some science fiction editor, but that was Ray Palmer's story. So he had to let the cat out of the bag eventually, and I think it happened about that time when you talked to him, maybe a little earlier.
Now, in the latter years of Schaefer's life, and we'll get into what Palmer did, but in the latter years of Schaefer's life, he got involved in something called Rock Books. And what I'd like to do here is have you briefly tell us about that, but then we'll talk about the experiences that Geneva and I had in visiting Schaefer and playing around with the rocks and the rock books. But how did this start, Richard?
It started up in Wisconsin. Most people seem to feel, because all of his work seemed to be coming from Summit, that it started there, but it didn't. It started around 1962 up in Wisconsin, and it was actually Dottie Shaver that discovered the rock books, and Shaver even admits that, but he didn't pay any attention to it at first. Dottie said that he laughed at her at first, which is kind of funny. But then, all of a sudden, a few weeks after, with these rocks just sitting on his desk, something clicked in his head, and that's when he discovered the rock books. Many years later, Dottie said, "I wish he'd never gotten onto that. I wish I'd never put those rocks on his desk, because it became an obsession."
Now, these books supposedly were books supposedly depicting records of some kind of ancient civilization, but supposedly you need special equipment to look at them. It's almost as if they had recorded their stuff, assuming they're real, which should be very complicated here to talk about, in some kind of crystalline form. And I think of the movie Superman the Movie, where Superman first becoming knowledgeable about his past takes these crystals and uses them to play back the holographic images of Jor-El. And I think, all right, that's cool, but what about Shaver? That's kind of almost the same thing, that in his own way, Shaver was seeing what he believed were records. And the question, of course, is, were they really records of anything or just a gigantic Rorschach test? Richard Toronto joins us with Gene, Chris, and Geneva Hagen. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you, has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival
survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even if I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months, simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So briefly, if I summed it up, Richard Toronto, about Shaver's Rock books?
Yes, you have. And the ancient race of people that you spoke of that left this huge library, as he called it, all over the planet. It was a civilization very similar to the one that he discovered when he went into the cavern. They were using high-tech machinery technology just like his other stories. And it was kind of a blending of his amazing stories, time where he went into the caverns and he brought back all this information. Now he was getting similar information from the rock books.
Now, I gather very few people actually believe this, but you know what? Geneva and I, in those years, look at the rocks. Was there a point, Geneva, do you recall, where we suddenly said, you know what? Maybe there's something here. Maybe we can see those things, too.
Well, I remember looking not at the rock itself, but a photograph he had sent us of the rocks, and suddenly I could see in it these almost cartoon-like little pictures of faces, elf-like faces with floppy Dr. Seuss-type hats. And they came out quite clearly, but to the point that I thought, wait a minute, this has got to be my projections because nobody would have put this in any kind of rock book. And unfortunately, those photographs were lost in a move, but around the year 2000 or shortly thereafter, I saw an article where explorers in France had found a Stone Age cave with paintings on the wall that showed modern-type drawings that looked very much like this, with creatures with floppy hats, or actually kind of cartoonized people with floppy hats. So I find that extremely intriguing.
Now, the funny thing is here, she brought it to me at the time, and I said, you know what, I see them too. So maybe you and I were just as crazy. But later on, we got to visit Shaver. This was several years before he died. He was living with Dottie Shaver at a little cottage in Summit, Arkansas, Geneva. Let's go back in time and tell us about it.
Well, the little town he was in was as nondescript as you can imagine. I don't even remember much in the way of trees. It was a desert little town, and he had a very small house, and behind the house there was his wife's ceramic studio, and there was his art and rock studio. And he showed us, he didn't do it for us, but he showed us the equipment of how he would enlarge these rock paintings. And I suppose at the time he didn't have the photographic equipment or couldn't afford to make actual enlarged photographic prints. So he would use a process of enlarging the photograph with a regular enlarger and enlarging a negative off the photograph. Then he would drift a powder of marine glue dust. He would spray a paper underneath, a very large piece of artist paper with fixative, and drift down a powder of marine glue dust. And he said that the pressure of the light and dark light beams, which I find this even still very hard to believe, but he claimed that it caused the dust to adhere in patterns similar to that on the negative. And then he would go and manually by hand fill in and paint over to actually create the picture, but that way it gave him one true to the originals. And he created some excellent artwork, very detailed and complex, with pictures within pictures by this method. So even if it was just an aid to his inner processing, it was fascinating. I would like to learn more of the science to find out if it's actually possible that this could have worked the way he thought it did.
What was your impression of Shaver?
Well, he seemed like a very affable, very intelligent person. If you met him on the street or in any other context, you would not hesitate to take him at face value. And he was extremely nice to us at the time, being struggling young writers. And a lot of people don't have a lot of time to give to young people in their 20s who are just still in the amateur phase. But Shaver was very forthcoming. And unfortunately, we became kind of his voice, I think he felt, to the outside world. And he began writing us each a letter or two or sometimes more every day. And he would enclose rock book photographs. And these would be multi-page typewritten letters. And since we did have lives at the time, there was just no way that we could possibly read and respond to those, even though we were with magazines dealing with that kind of material. So it's quite tragic in a way that this was going on. And you know, we kind of let the ball drop, I feel.
Well, of course, as you and I moved and lived our separate lives, all the records and most of the records from Shaver, they were lost or just set aside. I don't have much of anything either. Maybe I have a handful of letters, but most of what actually was published is the record that we have now in Caveat Emptor magazine. I mentioned this to our listeners. We had this magazine in two incarnations, from early 70s to the mid 70s, again from 1988-89 to the early 90s. I am hoping that we'll reprint a lot of this stuff, especially the Shaver material, because otherwise it's going to be lost.
Some of the material was also published in Crossroads Quarterly, another amateur zine that I was involved with in the mid-70s. And I do have I think I probably sent those to Richard Toronto earlier. I had some of his unpublished work, but very little now. I have one slice of rock, and that may be all that I have of the unpublished Shaver.
It would be interesting to take that rock and now subject it to some analysis with modern equipment.
It appears to have a sea creature on it. The sea creature is pretty easy to see, but the nature of the rock, it looks quite ordinary, but who knows?
What's your feeling about Shaver? Did you believe he really had the experiences he has?
Well, I believe he had some kind of experience, and certainly channelers can come up with some remarkable things. His experiences do remind me of those of channelers that I have known who say that there seem to be levels of consciousness where this stuff is being broadcast and you can actually go to it and transcribe it. I used to know one channeler who was fairly accurate in the Edgar Cayce tradition, who would read off things, literally do psychic readings, and he would mispronounce words sometimes because he was pronouncing them as they were spelled. And when he was back in his normal state, he would not remember what he had said, so his wife recorded all these. And this was actually a NASA space scientist. So this stuff happens, and what is behind it, no one knows. I still tend to get into a certain realm of government mind control. I know that Shaver said, even back in the 70s, and it proved to be correct, that a lot of the psychiatric patients in Russia were actually political dissidents. We know then, we found out that the CIA was doing just incredibly complicated and bizarre mind control experiments on people once they got their hands on LSD. And now, of course, they actually have machines that can almost read your mind and feed stuff to you. And there are support groups online for people who think that they're being messed with this way. So I'm keeping an open mind. I don't go there in much detail because it leads to a very poor state of mental health. But that's just one of the interesting things about our world.
Richard Taranto, let's talk about the final days of Ray Palmer, because as far as Shaver was concerned, he died, what, 2-3 years after we met him at his home. Palmer, I guess the interest in what he did in the circulation of his magazines declined steadily over the years after he moved to Amherst, right?
Yes, that's true. I wanted to ask you something, Gene, though.
Sure.
During your interview with Ray Palmer, did you ask him about the fact?
You know, I think I did. I have to look at the text of it. It was in the first issue of Caveat Emptor magazine, and I actually have the transcribed version. I could look it up.
Well, that's
but let's talk about that, because that's not something that you really dealt with.
No, and there's a reason that I didn't deal with it, because it's so mind-numbing after you get into it. I mean, he brings it up over the years, and his readers bring it up to him, and every time he talks about it, he gives a slightly different twist to it. But just the other day, I ran across in an editorial in Flying Saucers for Fall 1973 a paragraph where it seems to me he went into it more than at any other point, and I think it kind of ties into what Geneva was just talking about.
Now, let me just preface this about a fact. I mentioned it on the air in connection with something else, and I'll tell you what it is in a moment. Richard Taranto joins us. The book is War Over Lemuria. We have a few questions from our listeners, and Chris will ask them in a few moments. Right now, we have Geneva Hagen joining us. Richard Taranto with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.